Hey guys, welcome to Surfcast, and we're glad you're in the studio with us. This is Tyler is with me. Hey Tyler.
Yo.
And we have Emily Gates. Hey Emily.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It is the middle of the summer. Are you excited?
It is, yes. Nice and warm.
Yep. So today is July 20. This is not July. Is it July already?
It's June.
This is June 28th, right?
June 28th.
And it's Friday, and it's podcast time in the Leonard Center. And so you're listening to us probably because you like us, or maybe you're listening to us because somebody recommended that you listen to us. I don't know. I'm just glad you're listening to us. And so Emily Gates. Emily is a new Lee University employee, and or actually a VISTA assigned to Lee University. Tell us what a VISTA is and maybe why you're here.
Yeah, so I am a VISTA stands for Volunteer in Service to America. And that is pretty much the domestic Peace Corps. So if you've heard of the Peace Corps, it's just the domestic version of that.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much just helping out the Leonard Center this year with just the projects that they're working on and
cool.
pushing students to flourish this year through service. Yeah.
Cool. So unlike Tyler, because Tyler's not yet graduated, you are a Lee graduate,
heck
right?
Yeah.
So you excited about that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just graduated in May.
Let's go way back. Favorite memory from Lee University?
Favorite memory from Lee University? Ooh, that's a tough one.
That's okay.
I don't know. There's so many.
She's contagious, Tyler. She laughs all the time, right? So, well, Tyler, one day you're going to be able to have a favorite memory from Lee University as well, right?
One day I'll have a favorite memory.
Maybe it'll be this right now.
Yeah, that is. It could be.
Most likely, yeah.
This could be. So Tyler doubles as our tech guy, and during the summer he's going to kind of be like my my co-host, I think. Kristen is off somewhere in
Cambodia.
Cambodia. She's in Cambodia, and she's on a little service stint over there for the summer, and we'll be real excited when she gets back with us. But until then, you got me and Tyler, and so it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, and we brought Emily in today because, again, laughter's healthy like a medicine, and we know that Emily can just laugh at the drop of a hat, right?
So, all right, I'll do it.
There you go. All right, guys, so there's this idea we want to talk about, and it's this let's think about automation for just a minute, right? So when you think about automation, what comes to your mind, Tyler?
Just like my Gmail sorts out the spam
automatically
for me.
Yeah, just for you, right? Yeah. Like in my age, like in my old guy kind of, you know, syndrome, right? So I think about snail mail, you guys would call it. There's, you know, that letters do come through the real mail, right? You can actually get something.
I know bills do.
Yeah, bills do. That's great. Bills come through the real mail, and so you know, you think about all the postage, all the packages and the letters and things like that, right? So there's an automated system that checks all of that. Emily, I used to work at UPS one time.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I really did. And it was many, many years ago. And UPS people are just incredible. And I would go early in the morning, and we would sort boxes. So basically, you have a UPS truck comes up. Everybody unloads the boxes, and they go on a conveyor belt. That's an automated conveyor belt, right? So that conveyor belt. Now, the other automated belt I like is Krispy Kreme donuts.
That's a good one.
Wasn't last week like Donut Day or something?
International Donut Day? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You didn't bring me any donuts, Tyler. What in the world?
I just didn't have it in my budget, so sorry.
Maybe college student.
Yeah, if you paid me more, then perhaps.
Oh, come on, man. Come on. This is bad. So, yeah, but anyway, so, that you know, you put those packages on that belt, and it slides down, and all of a sudden you scan them, and then, you know, it takes human hands again to pick that up and to put it on the truck and to put it in the right place on the truck. But when you think about it, If we didn't have the power of automation, life would be, I guess, living in a previous century, suppose, right? But there are problems with automation, right? Have you ever had an argument, Emily, with anything, anybody? I mean, you're a peaceful person, but have you ever had an argument?
Yeah, I've had arguments before.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you win or lose, or did it matter?
I win every time.
You win every time?
Oh, yeah.
I just don't believe you've been in an argument. That blows my mind.
I have a whole three times.
Yeah, a whole three times in my life.
What about the Peace Corps? Where's the peace in the argument? Come
there you
on.
Go.
You're right.
There you go. So what I'm getting at is I was in Atlanta Airport recently, and, man, I got into an argument with not a person, but it was oddly enough in the bathroom, and I got into an argument with the faucet, right? So you know how you have these automated faucets, right? I prefer the ones that you turn on and turn off. I understand they may not be as healthy as others, right? But you turn them on and turn them off, right? But these, you got to put your hand underneath the faucet. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Lee University is not automated in faucets, and I'm particularly thankful. the other one is like an automated, like a water fountain, right? So you lean over or something, and the water comes up. And it's
I
like
haven't
a,
seen that yet.
I haven't either. I just thought I would mention that, Tyler. Is that funny
somebody
or what?
Somebody should make that.
Somebody you should guys should that. Do that. But anyway, so back to the bathroom in Atlanta Airport, right? So I'm in there, you know, and people are impatiently waiting, trying to wash their hands. And I'm standing there, you know, and I'm like shifting to the left and shifting to the right. And I'm frustrated. And I'm like, this is ridiculous, man. Why can't I get the amount of water that I want? This was after I'd already had kind of a early argument with the soap dispenser, right? So if you put your hand under the soap dispenser, you get like maybe one little drop of soap. I'm thinking, are you serious right now? Can we not buy more soap? And so then I get my hands all lathered up and I try to get them rinsed. And I mean, I'm literally like changing lanes, like, you know, stay in your lane, William. But no, I'm not. I'm going to the next faucet to the right, you know? And eventually I just got very frustrated and I walked out and I was kind of hustling to try to get to the plane. And I sat down in the plane from Atlanta to Chattanooga. And when I sat down to the plane, I had a kind of an aha moment, Tyler, kind of an open, mm-hmm. like, in, you ever had those moments where you think, you know, man, I wonder if anybody saw me like really mad at this faucet that won't speak back. You ever had a moment mm-hmm. like that? Yeah. I don't cuss, Emily. I really don't. And if I did, that'd be a good time to cuss, right? We'll just cuss out something that can't cuss you back, right?
There you go.
And so I'm not going to do that. But it was kind of like that tension, that moment. So I get in this airplane. I'm sitting down, and I'm waiting to take off. And all of a sudden, it hit me. How many times do we make our faith familiar, or should I say similar in our processes, like an automated faucet? Have you ever thought about that?
You know, I've never thought about that, but yeah. I'd love to hear more.
Yeah, I don't know that I have more, but we'll find out in a minute, I guess. But so as I sat down, I really kind of felt a real sense of embarrassment almost, because, I mean, I'm telling you, man, I was like, I did say the word stupid. I'm like, stupid, you know? I'm like, are you really not going to give me any water? And, I mean, these people in the bathroom are looking at me, and I'm like, don't act like you've never gotten mad at an automated, you know, water faucet. And so, but I sat down, I settled down, and I thought about that. And when I thought about that, I got to thinking about the reality that too often it seems that we automate our faith, you know? What does it look like to have automated faith? Tyler, what do you think?
Like, just like routine.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Rinse, recycle, do the same thing over and over every
yeah.
week.
Yeah. Why do we do that? Do we know?
I mean, I guess like habit
yeah.
dictates a lot of what
cool.
we do.
Cool. And what do we think?
Yeah, I think it's just comfortable. I think we kind of get in these cycles that are really comfortable. We get up, go to church on Sunday morning, go to chapel or whatever it is. And I think it just becomes routine, and it's easy, and it doesn't really require a ton of critical thought mm-hmm. just to live in that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's kind of why we live in an automatic faith sometimes.
So I think we're all through on the same page, and I think that's what I was feeling is that I wonder how many times that I have been in an exchange with God, or an exchange in a conversation, you know, about my faith with someone else, and it seems so lifeless and so routine-ish, you know, or so mm-hmm. routine or so ritualistic. And so it made me think about, and so I wrote an article on it recently, you know, but it made me think about what can we do to make sure that our faith is not automated, you know? So really our conversation today, as brief as it's going to be, is really talking about this idea of what are ways that we can probably, you know, maybe help our faith not to be so. Now, there's a difference between being routine-ish in that it's dead and it's dormant and there's no life in it, you know, or being disciplined to where there's the joy every morning that you spend in, you know, in prayer or in the evening when you read or whatever the case may be, you know. So am I making sense to you at all? I mean, I'm just kind of processing and thinking through. So what do we do with this? How do we deal with this in life? Sounds like I'm interviewing you guys when probably you should be interviewing me, Tyler, yeah. but
well, like,
I like the conversation.
Well, like how, like what do you do when like discipline becomes lifeless?
Ah, well, give me an explanation of what you mean by that.
Like I say I wake up at 8 a.m. every morning, and that's mm-hmm. when I do my devotion, which is usually the case if I mm-hmm. don't oversleep.
Yeah.
if like the inspiration's gone when I'm there and I'm just like, I'm just literally reading scripture and sure. I feel like I'm just doing this to do this at this point. Like, how do you kind of get out of that cycle where there's something fresh there? There's life in it.
Sure. Yeah. For me, I think you're hitting onto something that is really, I think we get into it before we know we get there. Right. Hmm. So for me, if I don't have daily Bible reading and some type of prayer, I feel incredibly frustrated with myself. Now, I got to be careful because that can take me back to a legalistic approach, right? So you can do whatever you want to do as long as you just go to the routines, right? So for me, I think it's varying it up a little bit. I don't have the same place every day that I read. I don't have the same place every day. Recently, because the spring is here, or I guess summer officially started last week, and the weather's beautiful, and I wake up at early in the morning, I can go out my house at 6:23, and I can see the most breathtaking sunrises of anywhere that I think I've ever seen. If you want to check them, you can go to WLAM88 on my Instagram, WLAM88. Some really cool pictures from.
You do post a lot of pictures.
I do post a lot of pictures, man. Big Green Egg food, Lee University students, and sunrises and sunsets at my house, right? So I think, Tyler, to answer your question, one of the things that I've learned to do over the years is to keep a little bit of fluidity, I guess, or keep it. Organic, keep it kind of growing by not letting the exact same place and the exact same scenario happen. So maybe when you wake up late, right, and you're frustrated because you woke up late, maybe go get your shower first. And then, you do shower, right?
I do. Yeah. Every now and again.
Yeah. So get your shower first, right? And then sit down with your, cup of coffee or whatever you drink in the morning and get you a your Bible and sit there for a few minutes. So I think the monotony of it is what makes it problematic.
Yeah. And I also think like the definition of discipline is to do something that might be hard and to stick with it even when it is hard. So I think it's good to mix up and to be creative in that space, but also like sometimes things are just hard, but they're worth it when they're hard. And sometimes it might not feel like it and it might not feel like the most life-giving thing, but that's the kind of thing that if you stick with it, I feel like eventually you will come out of that kind of mindset. So I think just there's a lot of value in sticking with something even when it is hard. And that's kind of the point of discipline, right?
Yeah, I kind of grind it out. I'm an old Marine Corvette, right? So a lot of things, man, we do them as routine. A lot of things happen just because that's in you. It's ingrained in you, right? You go through this training, and it's literally ingrained in you, And so when it's ingrained in you, what's happening is you're kind of developing this idea that's so routine that I don't have to think about it, So I agree, Emily. Make your faith so routine that you do it, right? Mm-hmm. But think about it.
As to not be automated.
And there you go. Absolutely. Think about it. Lectio Divina is a good, early practice to meditation, and thinking about, you take a scripture and you really just kind of meditate on the passage and you think about it and the old people would say, man, I'm getting old. Right. So it's like, can you believe I'm over 50?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can believe it. That's awesome. So I'm like half 100 and downhill, right? And so, but the point is, I think, as you meditate on it and they would say mull over it. The older people would say mull over it. I have no idea what that means. My dad would say it. Mull over it. You just think about it. Not mull. That's two different things, right? Not mull, but mull. You just ponder it. You think about it. You read it over and over and over. So, yeah. Recently, I had an awareness in scripture like that. I was reading over several passages, and I got to reading the Ten Commandments, and I read them over and over, and I would read them from the top down, I would read them from the bottom up, and I would just kind of read a verse and then reread the verse, and this is over a period of several weeks, and I got to thinking about that, and I thought, man, I wonder why we're so prone to the automation when it is so limiting, right? That's my stomach growling because it's now, we're podcasting, recording this thing in the middle of the day, And I usually eat by now, but we're going to hang in here, okay? So we got about two or three more minutes on this episode. It's an abbreviated episode for the summer, but I just kind of wanted to talk to you guys about this idea of faith. Let me ask both of you a question. So you've learned a lot from generations like me, right? You've learned a lot from people my age, older than me, a little bit younger than me. What do you think is important for you to teach the next generation so that they don't become automated in their faith?
Wow, that's a big one. Yeah, you take it away, Tyler.
No, I mean, I don't know. I think it comes to passion. Yeah. Just like you have to have passion for the Lord to stay interested.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if anything, just keep a love and passion for Christ. I read this book recently, and I've read it like over 4 or 5 times, which is not impressive because it's like a 60-page book. And
that's awesome.
Super abbreviated. But it's called Practicing the Presence of God.
But that's a 300-page book, right, if you read it 6 times.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, I had to read it so many times to retain the information. So what does that say about me?
What's the name of the book?
Practicing the Presence of God by it's by this dude named Brother Lawrence, who's like a late 1600s cook at a monastery. And it's basically these letters back and forth between him and this cardinal in the Catholic Church in Europe. And he's like, he washes dishes all day, like at this monastery. And that's like what he does for like 30 years before he dies.
Wow.
And like, he has this line in the book, which almost sounds kind of creepy, but this line that says, "I have had at times such delicious thoughts about the Lord, I'm ashamed to mention them."
Wow.
And so that's just like, I hear that and I'm like, someone who like does routine every day, he's just cooking and washing dishes for 30 years at a monastery in almost solitude. And he has that passion underneath it all, that he has such delicious thoughts about the Lord, he's ashamed to mention them. Which is, I mean, what is he ashamed to mention at that point? Because it's
sure,
because delicious is kind of funny sounding. But
yeah, very much so. Yeah.
But when I hear that kind of thing, that inspires me to be like, okay, well, I just need to buck down and find the passion because it's there. And if anybody's in my way, it's myself.
Good point. And I think the intimacy is the issue, right? So, I mean, things have a way of eliminating or hindering or negatively affecting the intimacy with God. You know, the more stuff we have, the more obligations we have, the more things we have. Now, we have to manage life. We can't just, you know, not everybody can live in this kind of a setting, right? We still have to function, some of us, in different ways. And so I appreciate that example because it reminds us that to be intentional about the relationship, because the relationship is the key to everything else working. Emily, what about from you? And you're a college graduate now. You have a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But what I just keep thinking about is I think it's easy to put God within boxes that we create for him. And I think sometimes we think God can only exist within our devotional time, or he can only exist in these like super grand moments. But realizing that, like, as each person is made in the image of God, the most creative being to have ever existed, like, we also have a creative element of us. And I think a way to not let faith become automatic or mundane is just to invite God into those like elements of our own creativeness, because that is him. So for me, I love painting and I love art and I love like using my hands to create things. I like love to cook, just anything like that. Like, I love using my hands to create. And I think it doesn't have to be a separate thing from God, as long as we're just like, it's a choice that I have to make to invite God into those moments, to invite him into conversations. And I might look like a crazy person having conversations with myself while I'm cooking, but
that's fine.
But really, like, just inviting God into things that we are passionate about, like Tyler was saying, like, we all have passions. It's hard to live in those passions sometimes, but I think we can invite God into that, because ultimately he's the one that gave us those things. So that's kind of how I try to keep things a little bit more fun, whatever, just inviting him into the things that I thoroughly do enjoy and trying to see how it connects to him as the most creative being.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is essentially the thesis of the book I referenced.
Wow.
Oh, okay,
that's
cool.
Well,
look at that.
Who wrote the book? Did Emily write the book? No.
Brother Lawrence.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, yeah. Maybe reincarnate. I don't know.
So, hey guys, closing thoughts today, because we're glad you're with us and just wanted to encourage you to continue in your summer. But as we think about this whole idea of automated faith, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Some things need to be automatic until they become settled and permanent inside of us. But then when they do, don't limit your relationship with God to just the routine of yesterday. jump into it for the freshness of tomorrow, because a friend of mine, Cliff Shimbles, used to teach at Lee University, and every semester he would discard his notes for that semester and rewrite his notes every semester for the coming semester. Now, he's been teaching a very, very long time, so it probably made him very efficient in doing that. But new teachers might would be freaking out over something like that. But when he did, it said, he told me one time, he said, the reason I do that, William, is because my students are only as good as I am fresh. Mm-hmm. Now, I wonder in our faith and our witness to other people, how much or how valuable or how impacting our faith could be if we were fresh in our faith and not stale. And I think the point I'm making today is when I put my hand under that little electronic eye at that airport and try to get my hands washed, that water may or may not come out of that faucet. I don't know. I don't know if there's a problem with electronic eye. I don't know if I haven't positioned myself in the right, you know, distance from that electronic eye to trigger it, to make it work. I don't know. But what I am certain of is if we call out to God in a personal pursuit for him, he will make himself known to us quickly and consistently. And so don't let your faith be limited by automation or by routine. Instead, let your faith grow, because in the tough times, as you were talking a while ago, Emily, if we don't have the discipline, we won't make it through the tough times. But if we do, they can be some of the sweetest moments that we've ever had in our life. And so we want you guys to enjoy your summer. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode of Servcast. And remember, as always, we tell you here, you're made for more. So go out and find somewhere in the world to make a difference. Have a great day.